Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Liberty and I with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. Charlie, how are you doing?
I'm, you know, even better than ever.
Better than ever?
Yeah, I'm just pretty good.
You know? I like that.
I'm feeling warm.
Okay.
From this climate change talk we just had.
Of course you are. Okay, let's talk about some housing policy. There's an ACLU article from Reason, and then Cori Bush is out there talking about a housing bill of rights as well. This article is in the show notes, Charlie, if you want to go through some of this one from Reason.
All right.
Everyone.
From Reason. A taxpayer-funded fair housing nonprofit in Illinois, with the help of the ACLU, is demanding a federal crackdown on landlords who don't rent to tenants with eviction records. Hey, do you have a history of not paying your rent and stuff? Yeah. Do you have a history of destroying property? Yeah, I do. Have you ever been evicted for those types of things?
Yeah.
Well, we don't really want to rent to you. Discrimination.
That's racist.
No,
I mean, just imagine this. You're a landlord, and someone comes to the house, and they're like, oh, I want to rent this house.
Is a lord. You know,
I know.
That's the lord part.
That's theft.
It's colonialism.
It's a parasitic thing anyway. Housing should be free in the first place. Yeah. Someone comes to you, and they're like, hey, I want to rent your house. And you're like, okay, well, what did you do with the last place that you rented? Did you pay them? And they're like, no, I didn't. Okay, did you ever pay them? No, didn't. Did you get kicked out? Yeah. All right, cool. Well, here's the paperwork.
Sign here.
Have fun.
Can't wait for you not to pay me. Because I still have to pay for it.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
In a complaint filed with HUD, Housing, U.S. Department of Housing, the group Hope Fair Housing Center argues that such policies amount to illegal discrimination based on race and sex, given the higher likelihood that black people, and particularly black women, will have an eviction record. So, just because a certain type of person tends to have a higher thing.
It's not even that that person tends to have it. It's that people who have that thing tend more to be people who are African American or whatever. Like African American, did it say women?
Women.
Specifically?
Yeah. WOCs.
Yeah.
Women of color. Yeah.
What's a woman?
I don't know.
Yeah.
A housing provider that enforces a policy that denies the opportunity to rent to anyone who has an eviction filing or judgment is disproportionately denying housing to black households and black women in particular. That's from Hope Deputy Director Josefina Navarre. Numerous studies, news reports, and advocate and tenant stories document just how typical a no evictions policy is within the rental property owner community nationally.
It is typical.
Why would it
for
not
for every single landlord?
Why would it not be typical? It's like, I can't even think of a really good analogy right now, but it's like, you know, let's say you have a history of stealing things from Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And Walmart is like, yeah, let's put a no trespassing on this, you know, on this person, police, please. And like that would be somehow discrimination because they have a history of stealing things and I don't want you coming in my store anymore.
It'd even be like, what if you're going to be an employee? You know, like, I see you've been fired from 5 previous places of work. What was that for? It's like, well, I've stolen thousands of dollars from every place I've ever worked. And I mean, I did the work and stuff, but I was robbing them the entire time that I was there and I can start tomorrow. You know, and you're like, pass. And they're like, racist.
Discrimination.
Exactly.
Churlish. The Federal Fair Housing Act bars housing providers from discriminating because of race and sex, along with other protected classifications like disability, national origin, and family status. They're not discriminating for those reasons.
They're not.
They're discriminating because you won't pay. Or you destroy property, or whatever else the case is for having an eviction. Like, do you know how hard it is to evict a tenant? It's not an easy process.
No.
It's not. You have to give, like, 30 days notice. You have to go to court. You have to prove things. Like, it's not like you can just willy-nilly evict someone.
It's easier to just let them finish out the lease or, yes, or whatever the contract is.
Subsequent court decisions and federal regulations established the idea that prohibition can apply to policies that had a disparate impact or discriminatory effect on protected classes, even if there's no discriminatory intent present.
So if your non-discriminatory practice happens to have a disparate impact or discriminatory effect, then it de facto becomes a discriminatory process that you're going through.
Regardless of intention.
This is the bigger problem with this is that we never ask people to solve the underlying problem. What is the underlying problem here? It's not that landlords don't want to rent to people who have been evicted. It's not racism. It's not discrimination. It's that people go and rent somewhere and they don't pay for the thing that they're getting. They decide that they're going to steal from someone or that they're going to destroy their property while they're there. And what would normally happen in society, or what should happen in society, is that people learn from that. And they're like, okay, well, I see that I've had a hard time.
Or you have an incentive not to get evicted.
Yeah.
Because you know that if you do have a judgment of eviction against you,
mm-hmm,
that it's going to be extremely, if not impossible, to rent again.
Like, imagine that if you knew, like what you just said, that if you've had an eviction, you're not going to be able to go anywhere else. If you get evicted for not paying your rent, you're not going to be able to find another place. What are you going to do, Charlie? You're going to try to pay your rent. Or you're going to try to not destroy the house that you're renting or the apartment that you're renting at that moment. But we don't do that. Instead, we basically subsidize people's bad decisions. They never need to change. We blame the people who put rules in place to protect their own property or to actually make money from their own investments that they're paying for. I've thought about renting out the house next to mine. My neighbor's moving. And I thought about buying it so I can rent it out. I'm like, okay, it'd be nice. It's right next to me. I want to pick and choose very, very carefully who's going to live there.
You would.
You know, no kids. I would like just one person to move into the house. Okay. And I'd like them to never be there. You know, that'd be fine too. They travel for work. They're there like one day a month.
Yep.
So I kind of have my ideal tenant in place, but I'm not going to do that. There's too much legal mess that goes along with tenants. You know, they destroy stuff.
That's why you're scared to make money.
But it's crazy to me to think that I would buy that house, and this house would cost $500,000, and I buy it, and I pay a mortgage for it, whatever that's going to cost, and that someone else thinks that they can just move into it and then just have a free house to live in, and if they get evicted, that's my fault, and if that shows up on their record that I've done something wrong, or that if I want to make sure that the person moving in is going to pay me while I'm paying for the house, that's discrimination?
See how it's all flipped up on its toes, man?
So what do we incentivize? Do we incentivize people to not buy the houses and rent them out, or we incentivize only really, really big companies that can take the losses to buy the houses and rent them out, because they can buy thousands and thousands of houses, and they can handle a small percentage of them getting evicted or not paying their rents. And so you get rid of like someone like me who wants to, you know, build some wealth and have another house or whatever. And so I'm not going to do it. You know who's going to do it? Freaking American Homes for Rent. They're going to buy the house and rent it out.
Garbage company, by the way.
Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible place.
I rented from them once and they sued me, and then I won the lawsuit.
Why did you not pay them?
I did not pay them. But I had a reason to, and that's because my heat went out, and they wouldn't fix it. No one answered the phone, and it was December, and I had at that point, Parker was a month old.
Oh, you had to go stay in a hotel.
So I went and stayed in a hotel, and they weren't going to reimburse me for the hotel. They weren't going to reimburse me for somebody coming out to fix it because I didn't use one of their guys. And I'm like, well, I called your guys, and they never answered. And I sent an email, and no one ever answered. So I had, and it was the weekend, so I had somebody come out and fix it. I went and stayed at a hotel for two nights. Somebody came out and fixed it, and then I moved back in. And when they wouldn't reimburse me, all I did is I docked it off the rent for the next month. It was like, I don't know, $800 or something like that. and I just took that amount off for the next month, and they sued me for that and tried to evict me. And what's hilarious about it is not only did we win the lawsuit, they also had to pay my lawyer's fees.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful.
That's good.
It was beautiful.
You know, a lot of times the big companies will threaten lawsuits, but they rarely ever want to actually go through with it.
Yeah.
They don't want to do that. But most people will cave when that happens. And listen,
because you get scared. I get it.
If you are in the right morally and even legally, probably in this matter, I think that that is an okay libertarian thing to do. I did the same thing with Williamson County Medical Center or whatever when they had, I had the thing with the finger, you know, and they looked me right in the eye. Now, I'm not a medical professional. I know if you listen through COVID, you're like, I bet these guys are doctors. But I happen to not be a medical professional, okay?
Yeah.
But I went there and I'd stuck a knife through my finger and they looked at it and they're like, well, he didn't hit the tendon or anything. Just put a splint on it. You know, in a few weeks, it'll be fine. And I was like, okay, that's fine. I was like, what if that's wrong? They're like, well, just let us know if it doesn't feel right. I'm like, it doesn't feel right.
I'm telling you, this doesn't feel right right now.
Move it. Yeah. And they're like, oh, well, you didn't hit the tendon or anything, so you're going to be fine. Well, long story short, I did sever the tendon in my finger. Putting it in a splint was the absolute worst case scenario for whenever you sever the tendon in your finger. And then they wanted me to pay them $1,000 for the visit. And I said, no.
You got it wrong.
I said, I actually want to sue you guys right now. Like, you told me this. I ended up having to have surgery on this thing a couple months later. I got scar tissue. The thing doesn't work right. It looks all weird. Dogs are always bothering with it, you know.
Smells kind of funny.
And so I sent them a letter after they threatened to sue or whatever, collections that they were doing. Sent them a letter and said, this is what you guys did wrong. I'm not a medical professional. You told me, without any imaging or anything, you looked at me and said, I did not do this, and there was nothing to worry about. And so I went forward on your medical advice, and you guys actually caused me a lot of problems. I'm not paying you the money. Never heard from them again. Didn't get anything else in the mail. Not a single thing.
Amen.
You can fight these big companies. They like to use those legal terms to try and scare you.
You just got
to
tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you got to do.
They know it. Okay, Cori Bush. Oh, God. Annoying as they come, let me tell you what.
Mm.
She says, I know what it's like to be unhoused. So continuing on the housing thing. I know what it's like to be unhoused. I once lived in my car with my two children. No one should have to experience that. That's why I've reintroduced the Unhoused Bill of Rights. So you have...
Look, I can say, I hope, like, no one should have to experience that. I hate that. I think it's terrible for people to have to live in their cars. I hope everyone can get housing.
Well, her kids should not have to experience that. If she made decisions that led to her living in her car, then she should have to experience it. You should have to experience
it. I'm saying I don't want people.
Yeah.
I want them to make decisions that won't lead to that type of thing.
Like, I don't want her to, but you should have to experience the consequences of your actions. I don't know exactly what those were. Not good for her kids. But from Common Dreams, they say housing justice advocates on Monday praised U.S. Representative Cori Bush for reintroducing the Unhoused Bill of Rights, a resolution that outlines how the federal government can permanently end the nation's homelessness crisis by 2027. Now, in her text, she actually says that they can do it by 2025, not her text, her exes. Sorry. But now she's saying 2027. I guess they got the numbers back. They can't do it. By that fast. She says, the housing crisis is personal to me. I was unhoused and forced to live in my car with my babies. I'm proud to reintroduce the Unhoused Bill of Rights. This bill provides a plan to end the unhoused crisis by 2027 and achieve housing justice for all.
Housing justice.
Mm-hmm. And so this is also a justice issue. She also says in another tweet that I pulled up here, the Unhoused Bill of Rights calls for drastic increases in affordable housing, naming the unhoused crisis as a public health emergency, protecting the civil and human rights of the unhoused, and historic funding for supportive services for the unhoused. Now, how, Charlie, would you have a bill of rights that guarantees that you're going to have a house? How can you have a right to that?
No evictions?
I guess no evictions. You're also going to have to guarantee that you will take things from other people and give people houses. You'll have to take income from other people who are working and making income enough to pay for their house and still pay taxes afterwards to make sure that you have a house. afterwards. So you can't have a right to something that must be provided by another person. That's called a positive right. That's when someone bestows upon you things that are taken from other people. We like the ones where no one has to do anything, you know? Like you got a right to work and earn an income and use that income to pay someone to build you a house.
Or you can learn how to build a house if you want to.
That's fine. All right, but you don't have the right to force other people to do that for you. Don't you think
also how could human beings have gotten this wrong for hundreds of thousands of years? For as long as human beings have been around, why didn't they figure out at the beginning that everyone deserves a house?
They should have started with that.
Yeah.
In fact, I
can't believe it's the year of our Lord 2023. And
the biggest problem was the tyrannical cavemen.
Oh, back then everyone deserves a cave.
That's what it was.
They went around looking for
caves all for
caves.
All.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Caves for all.
But then population bomb exploded.
And then everyone deserves a log cabin.
People to cave ratio. Mm. And then you see what actually caused the climate crisis was that everyone deserved a log cabin. So they had to start cutting down all the trees.
Or before that, it's called tents, I think. Everyone deserves a tent.
Yeah. You can't have a human right to this. All right.
God.
It's not a thing. And don't you think they've already spent a lot of money on this?
Yeah.
You think they spent any money?
I want to reiterate, I have a kid, and I would hate for my child to be homeless and living in a car, especially if I made stupid decisions to get there.
Yeah.
Like, innocent kids, of course. Like, I want them to be housed. Everybody wants them to be housed.
Nope, not if you're not pushing for this policy, you know.
But to say that you have an unhoused Bill of Rights, like, somehow you have it's just insanity.
Let's see.
Because what do we have to do to get there? You have to steal everyone else's money to do it.
It's call on the Department of Health and Human Services to declare the unhoused crisis a public health emergency. Protect unhoused individuals from the violation of their fundamental civil and human rights to housing, health care, livable wages, education, employment opportunities, access to public facilities, and freedom from harassment by law enforcement, private businesses, property owners, and house residents.
This is all about housing.
No, this is in... Hold on. I hadn't actually read that yet. The Unhoused Bill of Rights protects unhoused individuals from all the housed individuals. That's what it does. You know what the problem is once they protect you so hard that you move from becoming an unhoused individual to a housed individual, you lose all your rights. And you're forced to help all the other unhoused people.
Now you're housed. Yeah. That's right.
You become part of the ruling class immediately at that time. The violation of their civil and human rights to housing, health care, and the Housing Bill of Rights, livable wages, education, employment opportunities, access to public facilities, which means you got to take money from people to build public facilities, freedom from harassment by law enforcement. I'm so sick of seeing cops get mad at people when they poop on the sidewalk.
And I love what Bailey says here from the live group. And a partridge in a pear tree. Yes. Throw in 5 golden rings, you know. Here's the thing. They're just transferring the responsibility onto everyone else because this is just a victimhood bill.
Mm-hmm.
They act like these things don't already exist. Livable wages, those exist. You can go get them. Okay? Education, it exists. You can go get it. Employment opportunities, there's like 8 million open jobs right now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, they're in the sewer. or they're building houses.
Yeah.
Or they're laying brick. Or they're laying asphalt or whatever. There's like, Micro talks about this all the time. There's like 8 million open jobs. There's so many employment opportunities out there right now. It's insane. Access to public facilities. Who can't go into a public facility?
Yeah. Do they not allow?
Besides the ones they closed down in D.C. and stuff. You know, they have the guards out there and whatever.
What's so crazy is this is such a... It's a big, there's, you know, the number is 500,000 homeless people. Of course, those are different people every night. They're different, but still same, but different every night. They're concentrated in like 5 cities, by the way. Like almost all of the homeless people in the United States are in just a few cities. 5 is probably low, but let's just say 10. And then it's like almost none everywhere else. I mean, a very, very small amount that you could deal with a lot lower amount of money. Okay. They want to support historic federal funding levels for state and local governments to provide 24-hour support for unhoused people, including shelters, transitional housing programs. And you know what they're going to do? You know how with poverty, we have, okay, this is how many people are in poverty. And so we take this welfare money and we give it to people that are in poverty. And you know what we don't do is after we give those people money to supplement their income, we don't count that as their income. They still stay in like, they're in poverty. Like we don't count the money after we dole it out to them. And so we never see the actual benefits of the actions that we take. And I'm betting you, if we were to take all this money and we were to make affordable housing or shelters everywhere that would shelter everyone, and we did all of this, the number would actually change. Like, let's say we took a shelter in every city and it housed, put a roof over the head of every single one of these people. They would still come to you and say that we still have all these homeless people. We got to do something about this problem because they're, you know, government homeless people at that time. They'll never actually solve the problem because they don't know what the problem is. The problem is that these people don't know how to provide value to society. They want to get value from people, but they don't know how to provide value, or they refuse to provide value in exchange for that. And that is the problem. It's not that they can't afford a house. It's that they don't want to afford a house, or they don't know how to, or they don't have to.
Or they're making decisions where the shelters won't even allow them in. Going back to our eviction conversation, by the way, like if you have an assault conviction or something like that, like you're not allowed a rape conviction. You're not allowed in the shelters for the most part.
Well, if you're doing drugs,
if you're still on drugs, mm-hmm. or if you're actively high, you're in active addiction, they won't let you into the shelters. So you're making decisions where even if you do have housing available to not be unhoused, you personally are making those decisions to not be housed because you can't do the things that will allow you to be housed. Now, the reason they have those things is not because of discrimination. It's not because they're racist. It's because they're trying to protect the other people in there
mm-hmm.
that need the shelter, who don't need the threat of being raped or violated or stolen from. Or when you're drunk or high, you get a little crazy, man.
Uh-huh.
They don't want that in there.
Yep.
So it's wild. Absolutely wild.
We need to wrap it up, Charlie. Tell everyone where they can go to listen to the show and all that.
Yeah.
Let's close out.
Well, you need to join the Fed Haters Club, and you can do that by going to joingml.com or pick up some merchandise at godhatesfeds.com.
Mm.
I talked to him about it this morning.
He did.
Yeah, and he's like, I hate the feds.
Yeah, you got a Bible verse actually sent to your phone, and it's specifically about hating feds.
Feds are sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Please share the show around with your friends and family.
When we come back, we're going to talk about Bernie Sanders, the minimum wage, and whether or not we're all wage slaves. Liberty at night.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. In announcing the second federal indictment against former President Trump on Tuesday, DOJ Special Counsel Jack Smith had strong words to say about the January 6th Capitol riot.
The attack on our nation's capital on January 6th, 2021, was an unprecedented assault on the seat of American democracy. As described in the indictment, it was fueled by lies.
The DOJ believes Trump's attempts to overturn the 2020 election result led to what happened January 6th. Trump expected to be in court Thursday to answer to the charges. China is following America's example and tightening controls on exporting technology that could be used by the military. In Hong Kong, Andrew Wood says the restrictions limit exports of rare materials and metals used to make semiconductors, solar panels, and TV and computer screens. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Chuck on the Free Talk Live Network. I want to talk about some terrible economic proposals. So speaking of Bernie Sanders, by the way, he introduced a new legislation to raise the minimum wage to $17 an hour. He fight for it with inflation.
The fight for 15 wages on.
Yes, it is now $17. And so accounting for inflation, that's what we have to go for, which, of course, the federal minimum wage has stayed at $7.25 per hour. And all the minimum wage workers are just out there making poverty wages,
which almost no one makes.
Yes. Bernie says in the year 2023, a job should lift you out of poverty, not keep you in it. Today, with another representative, 29 Democratic senators and nearly 150 representatives, I introduced legislation that would raise the federal minimum wage to $17 an hour by 2028. The time for Congress to act is now. All right. Estimated to benefit nearly 28 million workers, or 19% of the working population. The Raise the Wage Act of 2023 would raise the federal minimum wage to $17 per hour over 5 years, eliminate the tipped sub-minimum wage over 7 years, eliminate the sub-minimum wage of workers with disabilities over 5 years, and eliminate the sub-minimum wage for youth workers over 7 years. This is effectively his attempt at destroying as many jobs as he possibly can. So if you are a...
And buying as many votes as possible.
Absolutely. He says this is estimated to benefit Democratic campaigns because 28 million workers would get a raise, is what that essentially means. He said $7.25 an hour federal minimum wage is a starvation wage. You know, we got a lot of people, you look around, just people starving to death in the United States. Okay. He talks about tipped wages in here. And the point that we always make and will continue to make is I'm sick of people pretending like tipped workers make less than the minimum wage. All right. And actually,
if you do, you really suck.
Yeah. You're terrible at your job.
Yeah.
And you should get a different job where you have a guaranteed wage. If you're not good enough to make more than that, then you don't need to be waiting tables or doing tipped wages anyway.
There wasn't, I don't think there was a single shift where I made less than $20 now.
No. I mean, even
that was odd. Seven.
Even if it were a really bad, let's say you made less than 20, did you ever make less than the minimum wage? Waiting tables?
Not once.
No. I never have. Maybe some people have, but you really, you need to go get a guaranteed minimum wage job if that's what you're worried about. And so a large portion of the amount of people that they say make the minimum wage or below or whatever are people who actually make more than that, but they don't declare all of it. And it doesn't show up in the stats as we've gone through in the past. The $7.25 an hour.
I mean, I claimed all mine.
Oh, yeah. I did, too, of course. But I heard that there are some people who don't claim all of their tips.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those people.
Yeah. The $7.25 an hour minimum wage is a starvation wage that no one makes. He didn't say that. We did. It must be raised to a living wage at least $17 an hour. In the year 2023, a job should lift you out of poverty, not keep you in it. At a time of massive income and wealth inequality and record-breaking corporate profits, we can no longer tolerate millions of workers being unable to feed their families because they are working for totally inadequate wages. And now, why... Let's say $7.25 an hour. Let's pretend like a bunch of people make that. All right. Now there's so many issues with this. Well, let's pretend people are making $7.25 an hour. At one point in time, $7.25 an hour was enough. Okay. Why is it not now?
That was raised from $5.15.
Mm-hmm. I lost my first job because the minimum wage went from like $5.50 to $6.50 in Illinois. Mm. Got fired from my first job because of that. Used to have three people on the floor and went down to two, and I got cut out.
Because of one Washington.
Mm-hmm. It was an Illinois, you know, rule at that time. And that's the other thing. People in really high, really, you know, high-cost areas, you think they're making $7.25 an hour? 34 states have their own minimum wages that are above the federal minimum wage. So then you're down to only 16 states that are still at the federal minimum, but then most of your workplaces have their own minimum wages that are above the minimum wage, like McDonald's, which started theirs now at 11. And I believe Walmart did the same thing around 11. And
I think Target and others are doing it at 15.
And
Amazon's 15.
Amazon's 15. And so we're still pretending like there's just so many people making $7.25 an hour because the federal minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. But it's not the case.
Also, we talked about this back during the fight for 15 and everything else. It's never going to be enough. This is going to keep going. You know, it'll be 17 for this piece of legislation. If Bernie Sanders lasts another 4 years, he'll introduce something else and raise it to 20. And if he's still alive in 4 years after that, it'll be the fight for 25. You know, it's never going to be enough.
No.
This will keep going. And going and going and going.
As we've been saying for like 5 years, the minimum wage is a dog chasing its tail.
How long have we been doing this podcast?
Like
4 years?
4 or 5 years, something like that.
4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess if you count the Big Freedom Show part of this podcast,
yeah.
It's been 5 years.
Yeah.
Same thing.
We were doing our Facebook videos for a while before we actually mm-hmm. started the podcast.
Nina's already fighting for 25. Yep.
Yeah.
It's never going to be enough.
I love the thing going around showing her. It's like one of those Defiant L's things, like the hypocritical posts, but it basically shows her saying that it's got to be 25, and then it shows her trying to hire campaign staffers at $15 an hour like a year ago.
Yeah.
And so do as I say, not as I do.
I saw it really.
But, you know, she didn't have enough money to pay people $25 an hour, and so she couldn't afford to pay them whatever wage she's trying to force others, but everyone else that she's trying to force to pay that, well, they can afford to do that. And what actually ends up happening, if they can't afford to pay it, either people get fired or they'll raise their prices.
Or they'll never get hired.
Yeah, or the businesses will cease to exist. Those are the things that can happen. But there's no free lunch here. This is the way it's going to be. Either people get fired, they don't get hired, the employers will go out of business, or they got to raise all the prices to make more money to account for it, which raises the prices in the economy, which then makes that minimum wage not worth whatever they call a living wage anymore. Mm. That's just the way it is. If you're making the absolute minimum that people get paid, you're going to struggle versus people who make more than that. It's just a fact of life, and it always will be.
Mm-hmm. I saw another funny hypocritical tweet mash today.
Yeah?
It was this girl who said score one for Rand Paul's neighbor back in 2017 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then just a few months ago talked about how the people who were celebrating, you know, the attack on Paul Pelosi and mm-hmm. other things, like how sick that is.
Pretty,
that's who they are.
Pretty common.
That's who these people are.
Yep. Yeah, but
they could never imagine doing something like that.
Yeah, but she's, you're forgetting, Charlie, that she's right.
That's right.
You know,
she's right.
So that's the big difference. Mm-hmm. There's not a double standard mm-hmm. when you're right and the other person's wrong.
That's right.
Yeah. So, Charlie, on a completely unrelated note, tell me about this story
These have nothing to do with each other. In fact,
this is a hard transition to a completely different
separate topic.
So yeah, I'm sorry.
Switch your brain to something totally different. Chipotle, how you want to say it. Uh-huh. It's that quasi-Mexican restaurant where you get the burritos or bowls. They're testing a robot that can prepare avocados to make guacamole faster.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Wait, that seems related to the last post
a little bit.
No,
this is totally unrelated. Okay. Don't try to put these things together, Nate.
Well, but Chipotle, of course, they pay their workers $7.25 an hour.
Mm.
They raised it to $15 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
And so now they're going to get a robot to replace something that workers are spending a bunch of time doing?
Has nothing to do with the other, though.
No, it doesn't at all.
Chipotle Mexican Grill has developed a robot that can cut, core, and peel avocados using its guacamole as the restaurant industry faces a sustained labor shortage. Today it takes... Now, why is the restaurant industry facing a sustained labor shortage?
Because people are lazy?
That's one reason.
What's your reason?
What's the main reason?
I don't know. I can't think of anything.
Capitalism? Well, restaurants make very little money.
Mm.
It's very hard to have a successful restaurant. The margins are really thin, and they can get shut down all the time, right? And so when you, especially during COVID and stuff, when you start to lose money, well, you can't hire people at the higher wage that you need to bring in to help out. So you just don't hire them. And then you find other ways around your labor shortage. Today it takes roughly 50 minutes to make a batch of Chipotle's guacamole, but the avocado unveiled Wednesday could cut the prep time in half. The fast casual chain developed the collaborative robot, or Cobot, that's what they're calling it, in partnership with Vibu Labs, a California-based robotics startup. Chipotle also announced Wednesday that its $50 million venture arm, Cultivate Next, is investing in Vibu. Financial terms weren't disclosed. The announcement came as the company and its rivals have experimented with robotics and other forms of automation. The broader restaurant industry is struggling with a shrinking workforce and rising wages.
But you know what's important here, Charlie?
Totally unrelated.
The workers that remain employed are making $15 an hour.
As wage slaves. Chained.
And they are very happy about that.
Yeah.
But of course, as I tweeted out this morning, the real minimum wage is zero. Because if you're not worth what the restaurant is being forced to pay you, or if they can get something to do it for cheaper, and right now robots have not unionized, then people will move in another direction.
Do you think there will be a robotics union?
They're going to do something with clearly the robots themselves are not going to unionize, but once we move into more and more automation, you're right. The look you just gave me when I said they're not going to unionize. I mean, in the future, we're going to look at robots as if they have rights and as people eventually, maybe not in our lifetimes, but eventually we will look at them as essentially human beings, and we will have debates over the slavery of the robots.
Mm.
I'm telling you, it's going to happen. We won't, but maybe our kids will. I'm not sure.
Listen how cool this thing is. How Chipotle's Autocado. So, it's cute.
Mm-hmm.
Autocado. Mm-hmm. To prepare avocados using the Autocado, Chipotle employees load up the device with a full case of the ripe fruit. The Autocado can hold up to 25 pounds at one time. Then the machine vertically orients the avocados, slices them in half, and removes their cores and skin. A bowl at the bottom collects the fruit, which employees can then hand mash and mix with the rest of the guacamole ingredients. Plus, you're saving employees from potentially cutting their hands. And
this thing is going to be super dangerous in the robot-human wars. Mm. I'll tell you that. Yeah. I do not want to tangle up with this thing.
Now look at this. On top of saving time and labor costs, the robot could also cut food waste.
That's good.
If the chain deploys the Autocado across its footprint of more than 3,200 locations, it could help save millions of dollars on avocados annually, the company said. Despite those savings, guacamole will probably still cost customers extra.
Mm-hmm.
They've been testing out automation for other kitchen tasks. Since September, one of the company's California locations has been using Chippy, an autonomous tortilla chip maker created by Miso Robotics. We've got a few more months of that restaurant test before we'll officially make the decision whether there's any more refactoring that needs to be done or whether Chippy is ready to go into a different restaurant. Notice what he said there. They're not saying, hey, we're testing this out and it's not working, so we're going to not deploy it. It's like, hey, we're testing this for a few more months to see if we need to work out any other kinks before we actually go deploy it at other restaurants.
Yeah.
It's coming.
It is. It is. And, of course, like I said, I mean, there are people there that are making 15, but
they're coming.
It's going to replace people. Because people are getting too expensive to employ. And then what are we going to do with those unemployed people? And now we've got a $17 an hour minimum wage, which is not actually going to happen. But we got the minimum wage in your state that they have to account for. We're just going to put them on the government dole, which but is going to come from all of our money from the people who are working.
Look, this is nothing new. Anybody who works in manufacturing knows that robots have been at play for a long time.
We've been doing automation for 150 years now.
Yeah. I mean, the sophistication now that they have in manufacturing is just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's going to, you know, you're going to keep finding ways to innovate and improve the process. So, I mean, McDonald's did it with humans, right? They took the restaurant experience, or back then it was the car hop experience, and they literally created systems in place to make food faster, to make it more reliable, to get the same amount, or I'm sorry, to get the consistency that people would expect no matter what McDonald's you go to. And they created the first fast food chain.
Assembly line,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
With food. And so this has been going on for 100 years now.
Quite some time.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's just going to be more and more. And Charlie, the Socialist Party of Great Britain, put out this PSA to let everyone know that you are a wage slave. Now, that sounds like a controversial analogy, in my opinion.
God, that picture of Marx at the bottom just...
No, I mean, I need you to know this, Charlie. I do not agree with people comparing things to slavery. I think that that is wrong. Slavery was very, very violent and terrible and one of the worst things that's ever happened in human history.
How can you compare wages to chattel slavery?
I know. You're making money and you can leave if you want to. And you can go somewhere else. This is the most racist post I have ever seen. And I'm sure everyone's going to be jumping all over that. You know, of course they are.
Nina probably responded multiple times to this.
Oh, I know. I know. They say you're a wage slave. You spend the majority of your existence working, not by choice, but because you are coerced under the threat of becoming impoverished, hungry, and homeless.
Now, we just can't. Like dogs. I mean, they are domesticated human dog food slaves.
Yes.
Because without...
That's...
They would just be roaming the wild.
You spend the majority of your existence working, not by choice, but because you're coerced. Now, you don't have to. There's a lot of people who don't work. All right. In fact, the common number is of 500,000 people that are homeless. Okay. And then there's a lot of other people who don't work who still are on government money and aren't homeless. Okay. So you're coerced. And how are you coerced? Under the threat of becoming impoverished, hungry, and homeless. How do you not be impoverished, hungry, and homeless? Other people would have to work to provide you with things. Okay, so if you're hungry, well, other people are going to have to farm and grow food and ship it to you so you can have it. Or if you're homeless, other people are going to have to build houses and make furniture and do all these things that go into a house. And if you have to exchange any value with them whatsoever, then that is coercion.
Slavery.
Yes. Instead, those people should just do it for you and you shouldn't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. Just trying to break down what they're saying in the first two sentences.
Here's a newsflash. You don't have to work at a job.
No.
You can farm yourself. You can build your own house.
Sure.
And I know you probably still have to pay property taxes, but that's the government's fault.
Mm.
Now you're a tax slave. Can we say that?
No. Absolutely not. Only wage slaves exist.
Okay.
Only wage slaves.
I'm sorry.
Only things.
I didn't mean that slipped out.
Only things where you can leave anytime you want, and you can also just choose not to do anything and take money from other people are slavery. Okay?
Everything besides that.
The things where if you don't do it, they'll put you in prison or kill you, those are not slavery.
No.
Okay, I just want to draw the distinction here. Very different things.
You know, I'm to the point. I said this about businesses when they keep raising minimum wage. I hope all businesses close down. You know, I say this about, you know, women complaining about men. I hope all men quit. I hope they stop building houses. I hope they stop working on the sewer. I hope they stop with the HVAC systems. I hope they stop all the things that men do. I hope they stop. And then we'll see how nice society looks after that. And the same way with this, you know, you just
can trans women keep doing those things.
I don't know. And then, you know, I could say the same thing about men, too, the men who complain about women. I hope all the women quit.
Yeah.
Stop nurturing. Stop providing the talent.
Stop making sandwiches. Stop washing the dishes. Yeah, I'll just say what you're thinking, Charlie. Stop doing the laundry.
And see what society looks like then.
Mop the floor and see how long that lasts.
Stop being a mom. You know, and I say the same thing about Jesus. I'm going to get torn up for this one. I could say the same thing about this, too, which is like, all right, you know, all the businesses are now closed, so you're no longer going to be a wage slave.
Yeah.
So now what are you going to do?
I don't know.
Yeah. You know?
There's not even any food for your wife to make for you. She's got to quit by default. So how is she going to work when there's no mops to buy?
Because the mop makers,
no one made them.
Yeah.
You know,
they all went out. Yeah. I'm calling for a life, like a general life strike.
Everyone just quit
everything.
Do you have any Kool-Aid that people can drink? Maybe?
And then the people, I think, will create a better society because the people who survive that after everyone goes on strike will be the society, will be the most coveted created society ever known.
Okay.
Until we need another reset in a couple hundred years.
I'll try anything once. A couple other dumb things in here. You and your employer are in conflict. Their profits will generally rise as your wages fall or stagnate. Now, who's ever had their wage go down at a job?
Not very many people.
I mean, literally, you're like, oh, we've been paying you $8 an hour. We're going to reduce your wage to $7.50 an hour.
I think the most people who probably see it are in sales.
Well, yeah.
Like typically, if you sell a lot, then they'll start to dwindle your commission.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens to some people. Some people get demoted. That does happen. But for the most part, most companies, that's not happening. You're typically getting at least a cost of living raise every year.
To you, having an employer is essential to survive. To them, you're just another source of labor from which they can profit. Now, You are. To them, you're only useful if you generate profits. If you can't make them money, or someone else will toil harder or longer than you for the same wage, then you can be disposed of. Yeah. What? So if someone else is willing to work the job and you're not, and you, so you can be fired. What about the person who's okay with working the job?
Slavery.
Like, do you have more rights than they do?
It's just slavery, Nate.
That sounds like slavery,
yeah.
Of course. You're only useful if you generate profits. Yes, this is not a jobs program, okay? Walmart is trying to make money, and they do that by providing things to people. If they don't provide things to people that are more valuable to them than the money that they have in their pockets, then they're not going to make any money. But if you hire someone and every time you hire someone, you lose money on that person, then you'll go out of business. You must make money from the person or at least break even. And maybe they're like a family member or something like that. I don't know.
And money is just a social construct, part of the patriarchy and slavery.
Yes. All those things. Mm-hmm. There was one more. Okay.
I wanted to go back real quick and read the bottom because this is the plan.
Where'd it go?
Here. You're not alone in this struggle. There are around 3 billion workers just like you worldwide forced to work or suffer the consequences. Together, you can take possession of this planet's natural resources and take control of the workplaces and put an end to this just like they did in the Soviet Union.
Just like that.
And the rise of the USSR.
You can take possession of this planet's natural resources?
Take control of the workplaces.
I thought possession was a bad thing. I thought that's what we were fighting against over here.
Just like John Lennon was. Imagine.
No possessions? No religion, too? Hard to imagine.
All right, folks, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. Remember, you can hang out with us every Tuesday night here on the Free Talk Live Network. You can also listen to Good Morning Liberty on your favorite podcast app, and you can get to that by going to BernieLies.com on your browser. That'll bring up all of the links that we could possibly have, or you can just search it on your favorite podcast app. You can go to our merch store, which is GodHatesFeds.com. I get it, God doesn't hate anyone, but can't you at least admit with us that if he was going to hate anyone, it would definitely be some feds? Am I right? So get your God Hates Feds t-shirt at GodHatesFeds.com. I'll see you next week.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com. Thank you.